Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It's Friday, September 11th, 2015. And as I say those words, 9/11, I'm sure many of you, it brings, heart-wrenching, contemplation, agony, just the history of that date and what has happened in this country. And so I'm sure many of you will pause throughout the day today and think about loved ones, think about the value of life, think about how God has worked in and through these many years since that tragic event on our nation. And I hope and pray that we'll continue to unify under the banner of Almighty God and serve Him and figure out creative ways to be a part of our community and our nation. And in the studio with me are a couple individuals that are making a difference for life, right here in the greater Champaign-Urbana area. And I think what they have to share will encourage you to be a part of this movement, a part of something that is dear to God's heart and dear to so many of us, and that's the value of life, the value that God has put on each and every life. And so in the studio with me, besides my Friday co-host, Pastor Jason Schiffo, is Joy Pace, and she's a pro-life community head, leading the effort at Holy Cross Church in Champaign, and then also Ivy Jelks, and she's the co-director of 40 Days for Life. And if you were tuned in on the Wednesday edition of Mark and Friends, you heard a little overview of this great organization, this ministry that's putting on a special event tomorrow, Saturday, and we'll talk a little more about that. And then the kickoff of the 40 Days of Life also beginning on the 23rd of this month. Ivy and Joy, thanks for being available. And Jason, I think you initially were in touch with them because you're participating in tomorrow's program.
Yeah, I've just met Ivy today. We traded some messages back and forth. We became Facebook friends, which is great. But Joy I've known for about a year or so. And Joy's just, one day I think she emailed me, she said she just wanted to get together and talk. And she's passionate about the issue of life and the sanctity of life. And so that just right away, we can become instant friends. Because I believe that it's so important that we stand for that. In fact, I was reading this morning in Proverbs chapter 24, in verse 11, it says, "Rescue those who are being taken away to death." It's a biblical mandate for those of us who are followers of Christ who call upon God that we would rescue those who are being taken away. And that verse really imposes on us the fact that the people who are being taken away can't fight for themselves. And so it tells us that we should fight for those who can't fight for themselves. And so I'm blessed to know Joy and to watch her do ministry and more our church get involved in that, but then also Ivy. And I'm so intrigued just to hear Ivy's heart today and blessed to be able to hear both their hearts. So I would love to hear how you guys got involved in 40 Days for Life, how that came about.
Oh, well, thank you. We heard about 40 Days for Life because of John Paul Dadens, who is a graduate of the U of I and the head of Students for Life of Illinois. And it's part of a national organization to encourage college groups to participate in pro-life arena. And he had heard about 40 Days for Life, and he actually headed up our groups to start that a number of years ago, probably about 5 or 6 years ago. So we have a 40-day initiative that goes on two times a year, one time in the fall, starting about the third week in September, and again starting in Lent with Ash Wednesday. And so with those two 40-day periods, we're calling on people to witness to life. So come out to pray at the abortion clinics, pray in their homes, and we do outreach also here. So it's an initiative that brings everybody of every stripe to come out and witness for something that's good. And we offer women a lot of help. And honestly, if anyone is out there praying and helps a woman rethink what she's doing. So being at the abortion sites reminds people that this is going on in our own midst. This is going on in our own cities, in our own clinics, run by our own doctors, staffed by our own nurses. And all these people, a lot of people still go to church, but they're participating in this. So it's to, you know, remind them, call them back, you know, for what God wants, that we want people to be whole. We want them to be functioning. We want them to live. And we're there to stand up and help protect them and do what we can to help them in their life. So that's what we're there for.
So in terms of 40 Days for Life, you said that you guys gather at the Planned Parenthood location and you pray. Mm-hmm. But just for our listeners' sake, how does praying actually help? Because for most of us, we think activism must rely on being active, being mm-hmm. loud, being mm-hmm. all of these things. So how does this kind of activism, now we know as Christians that we believe in the power of prayer and that yeah. God moves mountains through prayer. But for the person who's listening, who's saying, wait a second, why aren't you out there beating a drum? Why aren't you out there, you know, just making a lot of noise? Why aren't you mm-hmm. out there demolishing these buildings? Can you tell us maybe how a prayer has affected that?
Oh, my goodness. You know, when a woman comes to Planned Parenthood to either consider their abortion or have their abortion that day or start their abortion process, this is the last-ditch effort to reach their hearts. And so praying is so important, but being there is a witness to say we're here to help. We've got some signs to say, you know, there's a better choice. You know, let us help you and your family, you and your baby. And we do offer that help. But by being there and praying, that's actually the most important thing. Secondarily, we engage. We try to tell them, you know, where to go for help, that we're there in their corner to help them with whatever they need. But it's amazing the change of hearts, what a smile will make. We never try to be upsettable. We never shout things. I never even say usually the word abortion when I'm talking with women. It's a heart-to-heart thing. We try to love them into a new position. So very gently, I have my sign. I call people over, and I shake their hands and say, hi, my name is Joy, and I want to assure you I'm not a kook, even though I'm standing on the sidewalk of Planned Parenthood with my sign. And it's a true statement. It gets a little chuckle, but it starts the dialogue. Mm-hmm. You know, so in a very gentle way, my girlfriend and I, with the Holy Spirit, absolutely all over this, to help us be very gentle, very loving, because we want to try to love a woman into another position, because she's there because she thinks an abortion is going to solve her problems. Mm-hmm. And we're there to brainstorm with her to say, well, have you thought of this, or have you thought of this, or can we help you with that? So we're there to help. And so it's a gentle thing, as much as we'd like to storm the building. But if anyone's going to lose their cool, I don't want them on the sidewalk. I want someone there with the very presence of Jesus Christ to help people to understand that a human to human, we're there to help. They're all part of humanity, and we're there to help.
We had an interesting thing happen this morning around our breakfast table. My son, he was asking what I was going to do during the day today, which is something they usually ask. He's 9 years old, by the way, so everything is like Transformers and superheroes and all these things. And I said, we're going to go talk about 40 Days for Life. And so I explained to him what it was. And he goes, Dad, that's so foolish. Why wouldn't we just go and fight them? And right away I said, because God uses the foolish things to confound the wise. Amen. And the most foolish, and it made me think, I almost got a little chuckle. I said, 40 Days for Life is foolish. And that's why God uses it for His glory, because it's not how the world would think that we would interact with an issue like this.
You know, I'm thinking, Jason, the power of prayer, oftentimes we pray for things and we petition God or intercede on behalf of others, but isn't prayer really us communicating with God where He's transforming us? And I'm thinking about how you present Joy with the love of Jesus because you're grounded in prayer, because you've spoken with God, you've prepared your heart, you've allowed Him to enter into you, if you will, to work in and through you, and how we all need prayer. And I'm glad that's so foundational that people are praying because they're in touch with God so that they can be those vessels to bless or to maybe bring healthy conviction to these others that are maybe choosing to make a poor choice.
Ivy, how did you become involved, the co-director of 40 Days for Life? I'm sure that there is some story behind there and how God brought you to this ministry.
Well, growing up, I was a PK or a pastor's kid, and there was a woman in our church who was strongly pro-life, and my parents didn't really know a whole lot about that movement, and her fire and her passion for the sanctity of life kind of ignited some fire among some of the members in our church. And we were, you know, it was a small church, but we were mighty. And so my parents became very involved in the pro-life movement in Kansas. And my mom even wrote a song to sing at rallies and things like that. We participated in the Life Chain. And when I was in high school, our youth group took on a summer project where we studied the development of the child in the womb. Mm-hmm. And we discovered what it meant to be fearfully and wonderfully made. And with that, we also learned more about abortion and what that is and what that does to a baby in the womb and what that does to the mother. And when I really realized what that was all about, it broke my heart. And it's something that's always stuck with me. You know, you can't, as a human being, turn away from man's inhumanity to man. When you realize what it is and what's really happening in America, you know, the land of the free, you realize that not everybody is free. And, you know, it's something to realize that someone who looks just like you and I, but has not been born yet, is not deemed as a person that's worthy of equal rights.
I think you said on Wednesday, Jason, and I've thought about it a lot since, that through some of these various YouTubes that have been presented or some of the film where they've discovered these little children, these infants that aren't born yet, are struggling and fighting in the midst of that abortion procedure, that they have shown or proven conclusively that these children are trying to fight back to whatever degree they can as they're, you know, maybe just months old.
Yeah, the science behind it is almost incontrovertible at this stage. I mean, at 8 weeks, I mean, most of the major organs are developed. Now, they're not developed to the degree of when that ours are developed. I mean, the brain has development that happens all throughout our life. But scientifically, we know that they're developed. We know that they dream. We know that they react to pain. We know that we're learning more and more every day the ways that the babies are just smaller than us. But they're not different than us. And for me, as a follower of Jesus, I go right to God's word, and God says, I knit you in the womb. You're beautifully and wonderfully made. We're made in the image of God. And so therefore, the same thing that makes me who I am now, the image of God, is in place in the womb, in that baby already. Jesus was conceived by the Holy Spirit in the womb. That's the hand of God that reaches out and places that person there. Now, it's by God's grace and how he created us that they're delivered to us out of the body. But they're people, nonetheless. And I can't wrap my mind around it. It's one of the questions that weighs on me constantly is how, say, in the state of Illinois, how in the last final seconds of the 12th week, a baby is not a person, but suddenly as the clock ticks midnight, he becomes a person or she becomes a person. And I can't wrap my mind around that, because that's on the high order of the Holocaust, where we would see on the other side of a fence and say that is no longer a person. But on this side of the fence, they are a person. And it makes no sense to me, and it can't make any sense to you, because, listen, once we define personhood as something else, then there's a lot of wiggle room there. Suddenly we could say, well, you know what, those aren't people anymore, too, and those aren't people over there. And we devalue who people are. I think one of the things I said prior to the interview today is that I believe that by God's grace, we've been delivered these kind of Planned Parenthood videos. I think there's 8 now. I lost track because I don't watch them, because they just they make me so angry and frustrated, and I don't have enough tissue in the house to watch those things.
Yeah, they literally
and I'm really frustrated that people can talk about some of the most heinous and wicked things and eat lunch. It just it really makes me mad. I just, you know, I don't understand that. But by God's grace, we've been delivered these 8 or so videos, so there's not anybody currently who resides in the world who can say, I don't know about what this is about, I don't know what it does, I don't know why it does it. I mean, it's right there. And Ivy, I'd love, because I know that you had mentioned that you really wanted to make sure we touched on the videos.
Yeah.
Because I think that now nobody has an excuse.
No, nobody does. Nobody does. It's a time, I think, if the pro-life community, if the church, if people that care, if we miss this moment, you know, where it's in front of us. You can't deny. I mean, I've talked to pro-choice people who are also very disgusted by it. It's a time for us to come together, unite, be strong, and speak the truth.
And there's 2 ways for our listeners to engage and get involved and learn more. One with tomorrow's event, and then the community kickoff or start, if you will, for the 40 Days for Life. So maybe explain what people can experience or anticipate for tomorrow's event, I think beginning at 4 p.m. So tell us a little about that, and then the kickoff or the launching on the 23rd of the 40 Days of Life, how people can get involved both of those days.
Okay, so the Celebrate Life event tomorrow will be an evening of music. We've got a live band. We've got some excellent musicians who are providing our instrumental music. We have my husband, Ezekiel Jelks, who is a phenomenal bass player. We have Todd Rent, an amazing pianist. By the way, they're volunteering their time, and they're so amazing. Todd plays for lots of different groups plays with lots of different University of Illinois jazz bands. He's amazing. And then we also have a phenomenal drummer, Adair Thomas. So they will be providing our live music. We have Voices of Grace, the choir at Grace Fellowship Church. They're an amazing choir, and they will be rendering a few selections for us. We have a children's ensemble. We have various individual vocalists singing. We also have some amazing speakers. We have three women who will share their own personal testimonies, and one of which is going to share, Cheryl Weaver, will share her story. She actually had an abortion, and God has totally healed her. I spoke with her about 2 weeks ago, and it was just amazing because she was sharing, you know, the things she went through, and I'm looking at her waiting for her to break down. And it wasn't because she was bitter or hardened about what happened. It was because she was healed. Mm-hmm. And so she's going to share a lot about compassion for women. We have a lot of women in our community and a lot of people that we sit next to in church who have had abortions, and they've made a wrong choice in a really tough time. And she's really going to emphasize compassion, because whether you know of it or not, you know someone who's had an abortion. Right. And we want to reach out to these women in love. This is a judgment-free zone. We just want to, you know, these testimonies will really encourage all of us to change in some way.
And so this begins at 4 and goes to 6, 7, 8, you know, and so people could come at 4 for the beginning, or maybe they're busy that day and they show up at 5 o'clock or 6 o'clock. They could kind of enter into the sanctuary.
The program itself will be from 4 to 6, the scheduled part of the program. We'll have our music playing from 6 to 7:30, so it'll be a time of fellowship as well. So I encourage everyone to come out at 4 o'clock so that you can hear the testimonies and you can you know, hear the choir sing and the music.
And I think, Jason, you'll be presenting along with, I think, Harold Davis and Greta Henry. Some others will be sharing some.
I got to figure this one out. I think I only have like 15 minutes, and I don't think I've ever said anything in 15 minutes. So my wife, just when I said 15 minutes, she looked at me and she goes, "How are you going to do that?" I don't know.
We may give you a little more time.
But I do want to touch on something that you just mentioned, Ivy, that I think is really important, is that we sit next to people and we know people, whether we know it, who have been affected by abortion, who have had abortions, who carry the guilt and the shame, whether they're men or women, because I'm finding more and more that men are affected by the guilt and the shame. In fact, we were doing a Bible study, and one of the topics in one of the weeks of the Bible study was abortion. And afterward, a gentleman came up to me in our church who was in his 50s, and he said, "When I was 20, this happened, and I had no control because she wanted to do it, and I've carried this guilt with me for 30-something years." But can you just, I think we need to clarify that abortion, the act of, is wicked and dark and immoral and heinous. But the people who have been affected by this are not, that they're vessels of grace, and we need to love them. And even those who work in Planned Parenthood are not the enemy. Those people are people who God can redeem and save and bring out of that. But if we view people as enemies, we're not going to offer grace.
Right. Oh, Jason, I'm so glad that you brought that up, because, you know, anyone that's involved in abortion, whether they're a nurse or they work at Planned Parenthood or a private clinic, we've got a second abortion clinic here in Champaign, or even benefit from the baby parts that come out of those clinics. Anyone that's suffering with abortion, first of all, they're all human, and they're all children of God and made in the image and likeness of God. So the same respect that we're asking for the unborn children, we're also asking for them. So that's why our ministry on the sidewalk is kind and compassionate and gentle. But also, you want to give people time. There's time for conversion. Later in October, we're going to have another speaker come in, and she's actually a former Planned Parenthood employee, a little bit like Abby Johnson, and she'll be coming to St. Matthew's at the end of October. So we'll publicize that. But she tells about her conversion experience. She really thought she was doing something good. She thought she was helping women. She puts the human face on the people who are pro-choice and actually choose, you know, to work in that industry. But there are many people in that industry that decide to leave, and there are great ministries for post-abortion healing, including Rachel's Vineyard, which is wonderful. It's totally confidential. It's open to men and women and people in the industry. And then there's also another group called And Then There Were None, because basically if we have abortion workers leave the abortion industry, there'll be no workers to do the abortion abortions, no abortions. So that ministry is run by Abby Johnson down in Texas. So there's a lot of avenue for healing, and it's a little bit like peeling an onion. You know, God can, of course, you know, heal someone instantaneously and take that healing deep and complete. With others, it can be more of a peeling effect to get healing as we go. But we want to offer, you know, God's grace is so good. God's healing and mercy is bigger than any sin, including the sin of abortion. So we always encourage people to go back to church, you know, get the healing that you need. You can come, you know, be part of a great community, and God loves you and wants you whole. And that's, you know, that's what we're there for. We're there to help in any circumstance. So whether we talk to an employee or a woman or a couple, there was a woman who wanted to go in and employ as a nurse. She was a woman from Africa, and I had a chance to talk with her. I said, well, do you know that, you know, Planned Parenthood does abortions here? She said, no. And knowing that Africa is a great continent of countries that are all pro-life, her eyes opened wide, and she said, oh, my goodness, I had no idea. I said, please interview somewhere else. You know, go anywhere else. And then we tell people, go bring your business to anywhere else. Because even if you just go for a pap smear or you just go for birth control, and these are all fruits, again, of bad sexual behavior, which ends up with abortion many times, we tell people, bring your business elsewhere. Don't go there for any business, because whether you pay for it or not, Planned Parenthood always gets paid, and we want to send the dollars to go to an organization that does good work, not evil work.
For our listener that wants to get engaged or learn more or attend tomorrow, is there a website or a phone number for them to learn more?
Well, they can call Holy Cross office, and they can also call my home phone, and I'm Joy Pace, and it's 359-8406. But come, and in fact, we're encouraging, you know, the whole point of us helping others is also helping beyond stopping the abortion. We want to help families. So part of what we want to do, this is a free event, but we want people to bring canned goods or non-perishable food goods, that so we can build the food pantry, which helps people in their lives. And many of our families that we help, we do that. So if you can bring some canned goods, bring some pasta, bring some cream soups, you know, bring things that stay well, you know, and then we can help people that way too. It's free. We'll also accept donations, but you can call me on my home phone, 359-8406. For more information.
And I just want to, just personally, I'm speaking now to you, the radio listener. Listen, you will not learn to stand for life unless you learn to celebrate life. Mm-hmm. And so we would love for you to come out to this event. Again, it's going to be tomorrow, Saturday, September 12th at 4 p.m. at Holy Cross Catholic Church. That's 405 West Clark Street in Champaign, Illinois. And again, you will not learn to stand for life unless you learn to celebrate life. So let's gather together. Let's celebrate the life that God has given us and the lives that we can save as we share our lives with people who are struggling with the issue of abortion, who are contemplating abortion. And I just personally want to thank both of you guys, Ivy and Joy, for just your steadfastness and your tenacity, your perseverance to do this. I think when we stand against evil is always difficult, but when we stand against great evil on the magnitude and order that this is, it's very difficult. And so just my hat's off to you. I mean, thank you so much for doing what you guys do.
God's grace.
Thanks for driving out, too, and being available for today's edition of Mark and Friends. And you can also stop by, listener, 40daysforlife.com, 40, 40, days, DaysForLife, 40daysforlife.com to learn more. And hopefully many of you will see you tomorrow at Holy Cross Church, 405 West Clark Street in Champaign at 4 p.m.
Yep.
All right, listeners, hopefully we can see you out tomorrow night. And then on the 23rd, we'll begin where they'll actually be out on the sidewalks praying. And you can find out more at the website or by calling Joy at 217-359-8406, 217-359-8406. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Pastor Jason Schiffo with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you and have a great day and night.
Who is that little fella with ketchup on his nose, spaghetti in his hair, and that Kodak pose? Who's sitting in that high chair, keeping rhythm with a spoon? He's got your full attention and you're crazy as a loon. Be the doctor that finally finds a cure, or the one who brings the schools back into prayer. He may be there with you when you're old and all alone. You don't know who's sitting. that little lady is precious as a lamb, painting like an artist with that pudding in her hand. Who's sitting in that high chair with her supper on the floor? She's got you saying things like, I can't take it anymore.